New Hampshire primary day, Governor. Good to have you with us. And the Secretary of State's looking for some strong turnouts. It's basically Republican, your party's primary. Primarily, there are a few Democratic primary candidates running against each other, but not a lot. It's mostly Republicans. And I wanted to ask you, of course, you have this tremendous decision to make earlier in the year as to whether you were going to run for U.S. Senate. And, of course, the National Republican Party asked you to run and tried to push you to run. I know you don't like to be pushed by Washington. I get that. But you made the decision to run for a fourth term. Looking back at that decision, do you like that decision, considering what's happening with the Republican primary right now, going up against possibly Maggie Hassan here? And do you feel you can do more as governor for people of New Hampshire as opposed to U.S. Senator?
Yeah, that's it. No, I think it was without a doubt the right decision for two reasons. Number one, look, I really do think Maggie Hassan has to be retired. I just don't think she showed up. I think a lot of people realize that she did not show up here for 5 years. It's very biased in terms of the partisanship. And so you can't say we want to change. We all want to change Washington. You can't say that and keep sending the same people back. And it doesn't just take Chris Sununu to do that. We have other candidates that can do that. So, and to the point you just brought up, there's no doubt, like unquestionably, I can defend New Hampshire's interests. I can promote the right programs. I can design better systems as a governor than sitting down in Washington, D.C. And I love doing it. As you know, it's hard. It's hard to voters. Unlike Congress and Senate, they get to go on a lot of vacation. My phone's on 24/7, but I do love doing it, and I love the state, and I just think there's still a few more things we got to really manage here. We could have tough economic times, and we're still dealing with a mental health crisis and an opioid issue, and we've rebuilt those systems. They're great. I mean, they're really getting some results, but you got to get the management and the workforce, and you got to let those roots of those things take place. And so, no, I think it was definitely the right decision.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, and we're seeing a lot of negative advertising now in the last final minutes of this battle like we normally do. Do you think negative advertising works? Because most of the ads that you have run, you've run one ad or two ads that I've seen so far, and they're all positive. Do you think negative advertising really works, or people have turned off to that?
Yeah, look, my campaign's never run a negative ad, but I'm not going to lie to you. They do work. They do. It's not quite my style, but no, negative ads definitely can work, but you got to do it the right way. If you start your campaign with negative ads, you don't introduce yourself, you don't talk what you're about and what you're trying to bring to the table, then it's not going to work. People aren't even going to know you, right? Just attacking someone with nothing behind it isn't going to work. But unfortunately, they do actually work a little bit. They're always going to be there. You know, I think we've seen a lot of negative ads this campaign, but I mean, if you go back in history, it's been worse. I think it's been worse. I think in the early 2000s, you had a few primaries, at least on the Republican side, that were just brutal. I mean, they're just absolutely ugly. But the key is coming together after the primary. You can be a little chippy. You know, you can go after each other and kind of point out the flaws and the pros and the cons. But you got to come together as a party. That gives confidence to the independents, at least from the Republican side. That gives confidence to the libertarians, to the moderates, to the conservatives, to the extremists, whatever it is. It really brings everyone together to say, look, we might not agree on every issue, but here's our candidate. We agree on 80% of these things. We want local control and to cut taxes and all these, you know, school choice and all these things we're unable to get done. Let's focus on that because that's what the citizens are for and drive on it. So the key is always being able to come together. Not every state can do it. I think New Hampshire has done it very well in the past, and I have no doubt we'll do it again this year.
Do you like the fact that New Hampshire is one of the last few states to do primaries? There was a lot of talk about moving the primary to August. Do you like the fact that it's the week after Labor Day?
I don't mind it, but I do know you could have a legal problem. So, the way it used to be done is totally fine in mid-September, but now there's so many legal challenges potentially to these races that you might actually violate the law with the span of your general election. So in other words, you might not get a winner. God forbid you should challenge something in court and it takes a week or you need a recount. You might not actually get a winner, theoretically. We've never happened here before, but theoretically, until it's kind of too late. So if they wanted to move the primary, I've become open to that. I don't think you put it in August, right? I mean, we are a travel and tourism state. You don't put the heart of a very important political race in the middle of summer. That's just dumb, if I may. If they wanted to put it back in like late June or something like that, I think that would be fine. I asked them if they wanted to move it to go that route. They chose not to do that, so I vetoed the bill because, again, just putting a primary in the middle of summer is just not a good way to get people engaged, right? We're not engaged. We're at Canobie Lake Park. We're at the beach. Right? We don't want to be all that negativity thrown at us. There's a time for that, and I think you got to you got to balance it the right way.
Yeah, let me ask you, the state of the Republican Party, you have not always agreed with, you know, the people on the national level, although they think very highly of you. What's the state of the Republican Party? Are they in a good position right now to take the midterms and possibly take back Congress?
Yeah, yeah, they really are. I mean, take nothing for granted. I don't think it's going to be as easy as some people think. But at the end of the day, come November, people are going to be voting on what is impacting their family. That's gas prices still. I mean, the fact that I don't mean to get political on your show, Mike, but I will a little bit. The fact that you have folks saying, well, the prices are down to $350. What's the big deal? Are you kidding? $350? Like, it used to be $189. And that really impacts families. Inflation is very real. It's very much here. Folks in Washington said that it wasn't going to happen. It did. And folks are really feeling that. And that hurts. And so those pocketbook issues are what are going to drive people to make their final vote, I think, in November. Not so much on the social stuff. It's really about the impacts of day-to-day life. And on that, I think Republicans nationally will do well. But you still have to run on what's happening in your state. Like, we have the strongest economy in the country, right? So we have the lowest poverty rate in the country and some of the best schools in the country and all that. So we're very fortunate here. Well, there's no doubt about that. So you have to kind of see what are the other issues that are underlying. You know, folks are still, even though we're fairly affluent, right? We do very well economically. There's still 10% of our population that has food insecurity. That's a very real issue. We have a mental health crisis that is ballooning all over the country. We're making investments here, but those are real issues that people do care about. And then obviously, you know, just the overall economic times of how to put gas in that car. It does matter, even though we're economically successful. It still matters to families.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, I mean, you have some candidates running against you in today's primary, and I know you don't take anything for granted. I get that. People still have to get out there and vote, pull the levers, and write their ballot numbers down and things like that. I get that. I understand. But you talk about unification of the party. Do you sense that the candidates that are running against you on the Republican side, it seems like they have totally different views from what you do as far as the Republican Party goes moving ahead in the midterms?
Yeah, well, you know, look, I mean, it's fine. You know, it doesn't bother me too much. Everyone has different views. I've heard folks say things, and I'm like, boy, that's not, you know, I've had folks tell me, I don't want to harp on the candidates running against me, but, you know, Governor, the local districts aren't doing what we want them to do as Republicans and conservatives, so we should just pass a law and tell them what to do. And I thought, well, that's not very Republican. I mean, I don't agree with what's happening at the local level sometimes, but that doesn't mean that you go to become big government Republicans all of a sudden and force our will on people. You don't do that. You support local control. You support the fact that parents and teachers and the voters in a local town should have the most say in what's happening in their town. If they want to change, they can bring change, right? And it might not be what I want, but that's the process. And I'm a little nervous, even nationally, that we are, because of the extremism happening, there's the sense that we must force our will upon folks. Even though they have every right and ability to make those changes themselves, we're going to force it upon them. That is not a really American ideal. So I try to, that's probably where I push back on my party the most, reminding them what it is to be a local control, fiscally conservative Republican in terms of saying, look, we can cut taxes and we can believe in our local districts. And just because someone doesn't do what we want them to do doesn't mean we impose our will. That's not what it's about. So that's probably where we differ the most. But I think at the end of the day, we're all going to come together, especially on the Republican side this year. I take a huge responsibility there. I take a leadership role in that and making sure that we come together as a party and give folks confidence that we have the right message and can deliver in November.
And one more question before we let you go, assuming that you win today's primary, and the polls show that you most probably will. But like you say, you never take anything for granted. People still have to go to the polls and cast the ballot for you. You know, do you sense it's going to be a very, very divided and tough campaign against Tom Sherman on the Democratic side, Dr. Sherman on the other side? I mean, you have very distinct differences between his philosophy on how to run the state and you as a returning governor. What do you think about the campaign coming up?
Very different. Yeah, well, look, we are very different. I'm going to make this campaign super easy for everybody because there's very little gray area here. I will say this, if I may. I didn't appreciate the fact that Tom Sherman, no one even knows, right, yet. And as a kid, you got to introduce yourself. Here I am. Here's what I'm about. But the first ads are negative ads that he's putting out, really? Look, I don't really do negative ads. And I just think that says a lot about my opponent. And again, I'll let that kind of sit where it is. But your first ads can't be negative. Your first ads can't be just bashing away before people even know you as a person. That's not very New Hampshire of us. So in that sense, I feel confident, but you got to go earn the votes. You got to. I'm very proud of my record of success. I really am, whether it's schools or mental health. I'll talk about any issue, anytime, to anyone, and what we've been able to do to make the system better. But you still have to earn every vote. You have to earn every vote. And I take that very seriously. And we'll see what happens. So I try not to sweat it too much, as you know. I just try to do my job, get the results. And yeah, people can decide it. Maybe they like it. Great. And if they don't, well, that's okay, too. You know, it'll all work out in the end.